You are listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HRV and living a healthy life. It's the HRV Hour. You can contact us at hrv@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, HRV_hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7pm, then you can listen again at 4pm on a Monday and Tuesday at noon, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hi everybody, Josh, Tony, I know Stuart's busy recording at the moment, so there's just sort of just us three saying hello to everybody at the moment. Have you been, Tony? What sort of a week have you had?
It's been a little busy one, Sue. The weather's been a bit rubbish, so I've been sort of dodging the rain and the cold. But yeah, it's been all right. What about you? How's your week been?
Last week was horrendously busy. This week is forming to be fairly busy. I suppose a lot of the work that I do is obviously it's the run up to World AIDS Day. I know we're going to be talking about World AIDS Day. One of the biggest events for all HIV organisations across the UK. Yeah. So we tend to get quite, you know, a lot of charities do get quite busy with fundraising and organising events. But what a different World AIDS Day is it going to be? It really is. But we're still going to do what we can. How have you been, Josh? What sort of a week you had?
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. Not too bad. Same as everybody else, just trying to cope with what's going on.
Yeah.
The job's good and, learning lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. As you say, with World AIDS Day, it's going to be a different one, isn't it? And it'll be interesting to see how different places do it and how, you know, how in Brighton and Sussex is going to, it's going to manifest. So
I'll tell you what I'll miss, because obviously I've been going to the vigil for the past few years, and I know obviously that's not going to be possible. I believe you can go there and lay something down, but you can't congregate, can you?
I was wondering about that, actually. Mm.
You can go there and perhaps put a candle there, but they're going to literally limit numbers, how many people go into the memorial. But all the names and things, I know you're going to be... speaking to Glenn, aren't you, about obviously what's going on? Yeah,
next week. Yes, Glenn Stevens. Yeah, next week. Yeah.
So I know a lot of my colleagues are going to be doing. I just haven't got time to do them myself, unfortunately, this year. But they're going to be reading the names daily, live over the internet. I'm not quite sure what platform that is. So, you know, where you can hear people's names being read over, that's to the run-up to World AIDS Day. So that's all busy being organised. But I'm sure Glenn will have more information on that when you talk to him.
Yes. So how are you, Sue? You're saying?
Busy. I do like this time of year for the work that we do. But I've just been busier than ever. It's just been ludicrous. You know, we thought that, you know, which has changed us. I mean, it's changed everything we do, COVID. You know, as you're probably aware, I do a lot of work in schools, and we've been doing schools, and, you know, it was quite sort of scary, you know, doing a school over Zoom. You know, how do you get into a class? But you know what? It was received fantastically, and the reports we've had back, you know, there were kids were sort of like, we couldn't see the kids because we're not allowed to look at the kids via Zoom or any digital platform, but it went really well and it could be the way forward. Been very challenging for all of us, and because we are doing things differently, we want to keep doing those things, don't we, Guy? Like, we're still doing the radio, aren't we, via Zoom? And
I mean, it's you know, I think when you, that interaction though, about being in the same room, and you've got a you will get a different kind of energy and different kind of response, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think Zoom is good, but I think having that personal interaction is something that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. The face to face. But hey, we're still here trying to carry on until we eventually get back to normal, and that's the main thing.
Yes. So I just to say, actually, the beginning track was Clouds by Rocco Bene. It's a bit of a funky number.
Yes.
So what's on the show, guys?
We've got quite a few things going on this week, haven't we? You've recently done an interview, haven't you, Tony?
I did a little cheeky one with Emma from THT, she's just introducing herself and letting people know who she is and what she's about, and also thoughts about World Aids Day and how it's going to differ this year. So, that was good. She's amazing support in West London and East Sussex, so yeah, it's good.
Good.
She's good, Emma, isn't she?
Yeah, so one of the really interesting sort of stories we're going to be talking about is from Scotland, and it's about a Scottish poet with HIV. So that's a really interesting story we're going to be looking at. So you're doing a really great story, aren't you, Tony, about PrEP, injectable PrEP?
Yes, there is a story from Africa for women, and they're going to get PrEP in injectables once every 8 weeks, which is going to be really good because obviously the compliance of taking meds every day can all, you know, be different and it can be unobtainable sometimes. So,
and the results are fantastic, apparently, I've read.
Really good, really good results.
That sounds good story.
Great.
Oh, great show.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
A great story has just come out of Scotland. HIV Scotland has collaborated with poet and writer Jay Williams. James on Billboards, which will feature around the capital, sharing his poem about his lived experiences of HIV as part of Book Week Scotland next week. Now, the charity declares that hashtag stories matter as it launches James's poem called The Teal Coast Guard on sites such as the Royal Mile, Meadow Bank, Potter Row and Meadow Bank and more. Now, HIV Scotland hopes that creative activism like this will make passers-by stop and question the stigma still commonly held about HIV. And people are invited to spot the poem across Edinburgh and share the pictures of it on social media with the hashtag stories matter. What a great initiative. James said, the symptoms experienced when the HIV virus first replicates itself in the body can take a huge toll, both physically and mentally. In the Teal Coast Guard, the speaker describes being visited by a singer, Shirley Manson, in the dazed dreaming of their forever stricken mind, like Emma Thompson in Angels in America in 2003. Shirley appears as an angelical figure in the hour of need. She is adorned in the camp of ecstatic and marmotime, calling to mind the concluding sequence of Derek Jarman's The Temptress from 1979. In the poem, Shirley's wise words are not her own. They are, of course, those of the speaker, the speaker's subconsciousness. The speaker understands that HIV need no longer be a death sentence. I'm pleased that we can tell stories about living with HIV in ways that aren't typically public health messages and are far removed from the stigmatising messages from the 1980s. HIV Scotland's chief executive, Nathan Smarling, said, the lived realities of people living with HIV are complex, but their stories need to be listened to. If we are to break down the unfair stigma still so often associated with HIV. So creative activism is a key part of our toolkit when it comes to reducing stigma in Scotland to zero by 2030. People diagnosed with HIV can live long and healthy lives with the huge advances in treatment. We've seen over the decades, often people becoming undetectable, meaning they can't pass HIV on. We hope the people of Edinburgh take a moment to step into J. Williams James's words and consider that they believe, you know, what they believe about HIV. The poster campaign will run across Edinburgh from November the 16th until November the 29th. So if you're in Edinburgh, keep a watch out. Really interesting.
Hey guys, it's Tony. I'm just doing a really, really, really quick report. Trial results reveal that long-acting injectable cabotegravir as PrEP is highly effective in preventing HIV acquisition in women. I'm just reading a WHO report that they enrolled 3,223 women aged between 18 and 45 who were at risk for acquiring HIV infection in 20 sites across 7 countries in sub-Saharan Africa. That's Botswana, Kenya, Malawi, South Africa, Eswatini, Uganda and Zimbabwe. These women were randomized and the participants in one or two arms. One arm had the long-lasting injection intramuscular every 8 weeks and the daily oral placebo. The other was randomized to arm B, which was daily oral and intramuscular cabotegravir LA placebo every 8 weeks. The results were quite shocking. While both methods were highly effective at preventing HIV acquisition, long-acting cabotegravir was 89% more effective than the oral medication. These results show that cabotegravir has significantly and more effective in preventing HIV acquisition than oral PrEP in the intention to treat analysis from this trial. The long-acting PrEP product could offer a better choice for women at substantial HIV risk, who either do not want to take or struggle to take the daily tablet. These results do not contradict evidence showing of constantly using oral PrEP is highly effective and has been demonstrated in several trials. However, adhering to the daily dosing schedule is important. Even short lapses in taking oral PrEP can reduce the protection for HIV acquisition. As this study, participants were all aged 18 years or older. The bridging study has started to enroll adolescent girls. This is assessed safety and acceptability in 50 adolescent girls under 18 in 3 sites. Although this study has only been done in this sub-Saharan Africa, there are plans to actually enroll and implementation assessments are planned underway to implement it in other areas. A similar study in HIV uninfected cisgender men who have sex with men and transgender women who have sex with men is also stopped early, as it's demonstrated that in May 2020 that was highly effective in preventing HIV acquisition in this group. Again, another amazing trial and some great, great results. It is encouraging to learn that long-acting injectable PrEP option has been shown to be highly effective in women. The cabotegravir has the potential to increase choice and overcome some of the barriers related to adherence for long-term use of biomedical HIV prevention. Planning for open label extension studies for this is a priority to understand the outstanding safety issues for implementation approaches for populations who urgently need effective prevention choices. This is an amazing study. It's on the WHO website. They've also done a report on it on AIDS Map. And I think it's just interesting to read how they are introducing new technology into treatment and prevention of HIV.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online.
We're going to be sticking with Scotland at the moment. A little bit of more news has come out of Scotland. And just before I sort of talk about this, we still seem to be talking about how some people think how HIV is transmitted. And we've spoken about many times on the show about, you know, how HIV, ways that HIV cannot be transmitted, like kissing and cuddling and sharing toothbrushes and those sort of things. And believe you me, we're still trying to argue that fact. Now, a piece of news has come out of Scotland, and I'm going to read it. It's really interesting. It's just like beggars belief, you know. We're still trying to break down some of the stigma on how HIV is transmitted. Apparently, senior figures dispute that HIV can be spread via a toothbrush. There we go. Health News in Scotland. So this has been published in Health News Scotland. HIV Scotland has issued a short statement following a news article published on www.dentistry.co.uk, which stated HIV could be passed on via a toothbrush. Okay. Now, Dr. Nigel Carter, the chief executive of Oral Health Foundation, said there are many hundreds of different bacterias and viruses in our mouths, correct? Those sharing a toothbrush could be passing these on to others, okay? This might be something relatively harmless, such as a common cold, cold sore. But if the person you are sharing with is infected with hepatitis B, HIV, and now, wait for it, coronavirus, they could also be passed on via the toothbrush with severe health consequences. Also, storing toothbrushes in the same container has always been a bad idea. But today, this separation has become a real necessity. Commenting on this, the chief executive of HIV Scotland, Nathan Sparling, said, "We are all much more aware of viruses in the last 9 months, but myths and misinformation about HIV are still very prevalent in our society. It's absolutely quite shocking to see a senior figure being quoted as saying HIV is passed on from sharing toothbrushes. This is rooted in stigma and misinformation going back almost 40 years. I can't believe that in 2020 I have had to issue a statement to clarify that HIV is not transmitted through toothbrushes. HIV cannot be passed on by sharing toothbrushes, as once the virus outside the body, HIV has a very short life and would be weakened by exposure to air, water, and the particulars involved in sharing a toothbrush. Now, while sharing a toothbrush might pose an infection at risk such as COVID-19, we must challenge the myths and misconceptions of HIV. I have this morning," he said, spoken with Tom Ferry, Scotland's chief dental officer, to discuss what we can do to issue a clear and of equivalent statement to dentists in Scotland. So here we go, folks. We're still battling, aren't we? Just to put it out there, you cannot get HIV from sharing someone's toothbrush, as stated in the evidence. That's been out for quite some time now. HIV does not like living outside the body and mixed with water and all those other things. So we really must get this right, because this is continuing to cause harm and emotional, not very good for some people. So we need to clarify, especially these, you know, prominent people in society that are actually talking about these wrongful messages.
Hey there, guys. It's Tony from the HIV Hour. I'm here with Emma, an amazing lady from THT. She's an amazing support to everyone at the Worthing Hub and obviously in East Sussex. So, Emma, how are you doing?
Hello. Hi, I'm very, very well, thank you, and thanks for having me on the programme.
Yeah, that's all right. I've known you probably for what, I don't know, a year, maybe a year?
A year now,
It's been a year now. So tell me, where, like, obviously you work for THT, but where did you come from? Because obviously, you know, I've been in Worthing for what, 15 years maybe. So where have you come from and how did that transition into the THT work?
So my background is actually as a clinical psychologist, and I was working in the NHS, running a therapy service previously in West Sussex. So I know West Sussex very well, but in quite a different role. But I had also worked in an HIV service in St Mary's some years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was an area of work quite close to my heart for many reasons. What I felt was that the therapy service was fantastic, but there were some people, particularly people living with HIV, who might not access that service, who needed support and also more flexible support than perhaps a one-to-one therapy could provide.
Yeah.
And
do you think
it was something that I felt really strongly about?
Yeah, totally. Do you think people that have HIV, do you think there's a tendency to suffer, like, with mental health issues, or is that a higher percentage than, say, people without HIV, or, you know?
Yes. We know that people living with HIV, which is a long-term health condition now, because of the medication and the way it's managed, as with any long-term health condition, there is a higher rate of anxiety, depression, and, you know, other issues within the population. But obviously everybody's an individual. Some people adjust and cope and have a lot of support around them, and other people it might be more difficult, as is the case in the general population. But we do know that there's a lot of historical stigma, particularly for people who've been living with HIV for many years, which some of the clients in West Sussex have. And that, you know, is a, you know, those past experiences kind of live on with people and can make it harder for them to feel comfortable accessing some mainstream services. So specialist services like the one that I work in West Sussex are really important, I think.
Totally. Yeah, no, totally. I know that everyone that you actually support, you also support me as well. So I know sort of firsthand that, you know, you are just there and, you know, if we need to talk, we can just call you or send you a quick message or something, and you'll always get back to us when you're at work. So that's, you know, you are an amazing support.
I try to be accessible, and that's, I think,
it's a really good link between, like, THT and, you know, us as patients or clients or whatever. It's really good to have that person you really trust and you feel you can confide in certain things. So yeah, it's good.
So I mean, I think I mostly work in the coastal West Sussex area myself, but I have a colleague, Lucy, who works in the north of West Sussex, so we do cover the whole county. Obviously, the geography is quite big, so we have different people in different areas, and, you know, different people have different needs around the county. But we're quite knowledgeable about other services and helping people access them, so one of our roles is to try and help be a link into other appropriate services if people need help with anything quite holistically in their lives, as well as providing quite direct support. So it's all of those things.
And you're a great sort of signpost. Like, you know, if we call and we've got a problem, I don't know, with say we do delivery of food on Friday to West Sussex, and I know THT do it with Lunch Positive in East Sussex. So, you know, it's sort of like signposting, and, you know, you're an amazing kind of just a person to, you know, say, okay, have you tried that? Have you tried this? You know, it's good.
Yeah. And we work closely with the community HIV teams as well, where we need to, but we also offer kind of support independently of that as well, if it's appropriate.
So do you actually go into the Lawson unit and the Rowlands Road units? Do you go in?
I don't at the moment because of COVID, obviously. It's been a bit of a barrier to getting to know everybody because I've only been in this job for a year and then the lockdown happened. But I do know the teams. Rowlands Road and the Chichester clinics are probably the most you know, common ones, and Crawley as well, the team up in Crawley Hospital we link into, and the community HIV services, which are mostly based through Brighton now and Crawley. So we link into all of those, and staff in those clinics can make referrals. But we're really trying to also encourage people to come forward if they feel they have a support need of any kind, you know, to be able to self-refer as well. So we're looking at producing a leaflet and promoting what we do a bit more widely, so that people can kind of identify themselves that they need support rather than a professional needing to do it for them.
Sometimes people get like scared about asking certain things or asking for help, aren't they? They are really, some are backwards in coming forwards and some are forwards in coming forwards. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's a real mix.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, you know, often when people most need help is when they're feeling that they're most vulnerable. It's often the hardest time to ask for it. So having support to access it is really important. And we can help with small things and big things, you know. It can be something quite little early on in someone's sort of support needs, or it can be a much more of a crisis situation, and we're happy to help whatever it is.
Awesome. Okay, so with that in mind, where is like THT for the plans in the future? I'm obviously, we've got World AIDS Day coming up on the 1st of December this year, which is going to be seem a bit different than every other year, obviously due to COVID. So it's going to be paired down with virtual events and stuff. So what THT got planned for World AIDS Day, and what are your plans?
Well, THT obviously is involved with the, as you said, the virtual kind of the reading of the names of people who've been lost to HIV and AIDS, and we're doing some fundraising and raising awareness, using World AIDS Day as an opportunity to do that, to encourage people to still come for testing, for example, because although a lot of our services are working remotely at the moment, we are still offering testing at the clinic, but it's a bookable service only at the moment. But it will be a much more limited event. So our sort of marketing and comms team also within THT will be producing some campaigns and online materials that will be coming out to the public, just to promote awareness and the issue that, you know, if you're on medication, you can't pass on HIV. It's really important to get tested and be on medication. And you know, we have this future goal of kind of eliminating transmission of HIV, which the trust is very much involved with as the national program. So
how do you think?
But I think it really is a time to remember people we've lost as very much.
How is the Obviously, as the therapy you get, or the ARVs, the antiretroviral therapy, as the technology and the drugs get more efficient in how they tackle the virus in the body, how has, you know, is that had a really good effect on the amount of people we're losing? I mean, people surviving longer, aren't they?
Yeah. So a lot of the people that we're remembering might be people who were diagnosed quite a long time ago before the medications even existed, or, you know, and may have had more complications because of that, you know, and actually, or there may be people, what we know from recent research is that the rate of transmission of HIV is going down in the sort of gay male community, the British community particularly, but actually in the heterosexual community, and particularly in those heterosexuals over 50, it's gone up a little bit, and these are people who tend to be diagnosed late because they don't necessarily see themselves as at risk. Everybody, this is relevant to everybody regardless of sexuality, age, gender, ethnicity. We all need to be aware and be taking good care of ourselves and getting tested if we've, you know, if we've had unprotected sex.
Absolutely.
And, you know, making sure we look after ourselves.
I think that's a really good point where, you know, being it's now more heterosexual rather than like gay, I think it's quite important to like establish that, you know, stigma is still out there. And although it's down, there's still a lot of stigma out there, isn't there? Especially, you know, and what do they call it? You know, when I don't know, people coming forward to get a test, if they're older, over 50, yeah, the stigma of going to have an HIV test is obviously a lot greater.
People may not see it as being relevant to them. And I think also sometimes healthcare professionals that make a judgment as to who they think is at risk, and actually, you know, we can sort of make assumptions. Yeah. I think stigma does still exist. I think stigma has reduced a lot. I think, as I said, older people who've lived with HIV a long time still remember a lot of the stigma historically. Absolutely. And carry that with them, and that can make it much harder. I hope as we go through the next generation and beyond, it will become far less stigmatized. And actually, just talking about sex and, you know, relationships is becoming easier in society now. So
how important was the U equals U campaign? Because I know certainly people in my life that, you know, you say, well, undetectable means untransmittable, and they're like, yeah, no, it doesn't. And I'm like, no, it does. You know, it's hard to get that point across to people.
I think there's a lot of fear around HIV still, and, you know, because of what's gone before. But yes, it really does, you know. Undetectable means untransmissible, and you know, it's a huge step forward. And you know, those who are taking medication, you know, regularly, and you know, using it effectively, can live a normal life.
Absolutely.
Our attitudes need to shift with that. And obviously, World AIDS Day is an opportunity to highlight these issues as well. And you know, THT, that's a big part of their work, really, is the campaign work, to try and sort of shift, you know, perceptions in all sectors of the community. But things have changed a lot since I first worked in HIV, certainly. You know, people really are living healthy lives now. That's really part of what my job is, to help people.
Sorry, what was that? Sorry.
Part of my job is to try and support people with HIV to live those healthy lives, and to have confidence in doing that. Because I still think when you get a diagnosis, it's a scary thing. As it is, if you're diagnosed with diabetes, it's a scary thing. Anything, you know. You know, yeah.
I think even now, like, people in their 20s and maybe, I don't know, early 30s, they probably won't remember. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, but there was an advert on TV with a "Don't Die of Ignorance" with the big tombstones. And it was really scary. Like, it was like, wow, okay. It was a defining moment, I think, for people to sort of take notice and, you know, look after their own sexual health.
And that was a very fear-inducing kind of campaign, but without much education about the condition in it. And I think now we know what we need is to really have campaigns that educate people about the real facts of the condition, and not to create fear, but hope, because, you know, things have changed so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But yes, I still think there's the need for specialist support, like, you know, my role. We also have a couple of staff in the Living Well service, which is what we're called as an overall service in Brighton, who offer similar support. So, you know, there is still that need there, but things are changing. I mean, obviously there's a lot of good peer support out there, like the Hub, which you're involved with, which is invaluable as well. I mean, I think being able to connect with other people who are going through similar experiences is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And like, to have someone like the Worthing Hub runs, like, you know, twice weekly hubs virtually on Zoom. We do a quiz on a Sunday night, which is normally quite funny. But we also have like a WhatsApp service. So, you know, during the day or even early in the evening, if someone's like stressed or they've got a problem, they just message in. So, I mean, but there are other services around West Sussex and also East Sussex that do that. So, you know.
Yeah, it's really helpful.
Well, thank you for just chatting with us for 10 minutes or about everything that's going on and introducing yourself, because honestly, you are, I don't know, you're amazing, and I know you support me and loads of the people in the Hub, and we're really thankful to have you around, so we really are.
It's my pleasure, and can I just say, if anyone is listening who lives in West Sussex and they think they might want some support from THT around living with HIV. Maybe you're newly diagnosed, maybe you've lived with it for years, but you're kind of worried about some aspect of living with HIV of any kind, that they can contact me. Can I give my phone number? Is that
absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
It's 07917 815 875, and people can just send a text message or a WhatsApp message if they want to, and then I can make contact back. And we can take it from there, because I'm keen to kind of reach out to people who might not know about us.
Yeah. Emma, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I really appreciate it. All right.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Tony.
No worries. You take care.
We've got some fantastic community news. We haven't spoken about the Sussex Beacon for a while, but they've got two up-and-coming events. The first one is on the 23rd of November from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. and that's via Zoom. We're all Zooming now, aren't we, guys?
Everyone's Zooming.
And to get the details to Zoom into this meeting, you can contact the Sussex Beacon. So that's the next meeting. And then they're advertising a Christmas crafting and ornament making at Sussex Beacon on Friday, the 27th of November, from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And you are going to get lunch and materials provided. Yeah, so that's good. They're saying that we are able to keep running support groups under lockdown and everything will be in line with social distance and guidelines. As numbers are limited, you must let the guys know at the Sussex Beacon, contact Hattie to let them know if you're coming. So again, if you're interested, you know, things are still going on as much as we're in lockdown and everything is changing. You know, it's really, really important that, you know, some of these services that are absolutely valuable to people living with HIV can access. So if you want to know more about these two next meetings or any future meetings at the Sussex Beacon for Women, please contact the Sussex Beacon.
Is there a restricted number, Sue? Did you say that?
It doesn't say a number, but they are restricted.
Yeah.
So yes, I don't know the number. It will be they'll be lower than what they would normally be. So that's why it's crucial that you're interested to get yourself a place. Yeah. So, yeah, what another great show we've had this week, guys. I know we've got a really important, not that not every week is an important show, but the next show is going to be our World AIDS Day. Run up to. We've got some really great things, some really great recordings from some amazing people, just to commemorate a really important event, not just for the people that have passed, nearly 38 million people, just to remind everybody, nearly 38 million people have passed away throughout the world to HIV and AIDS, and we've got 37.5 million people still living with HIV and AIDS around the world. So I think it's a reflection and a remembrance for lots of things, to look at what we've got now, what we didn't have and what we've achieved, and you know, all those people that have passed away well before their time because of what we didn't have today. I think it's an opportunity to have that moment, regardless whether you know anyone individually, just to think, you know what, look how far we've come, and look at the, you know, what a lot of people went through over the decades to get to the fantastic medication, the healthcare, and the absolute knowledge and information we have now about HIV. So a big show. Not that we never do have a big show, Josh, but a bit of a poignant show next week. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, some great interviews as well. So,
see you all next week, guys. And again, take care and keep safe. Keep wearing their masks if you can wear them.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.